Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah. Man, God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Definitely want to give honor to Pastor Brady in his absence and his family as well. We're definitely praying for them. Definitely don't want to belabor the hour. Thankful for another opportunity to deliver God's word. Amen. The scripture that I'll be reading from this morning is found in Joshua chapter 14. And we'll be reading verses 6 through 12. I'll be reading the NIV version. I don't know if I told them the NIV, but it don't matter. As long as y'all hear me, it's all good. Joshua 14, 6 through 12. And you can remain seated. Amen. The scripture reads as this. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." And the topic that I want to speak from is with my whole heart. Father, we thank you for another opportunity at this moment in time. We just ask that you would have your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. With my whole heart. The scripture that was read today to open the service was Psalms 27, 13, verse 14. It says this, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David the psalmist and the writer of Psalms 27 starts out that chapter by making the declaration that the Lord is his light and his salvation. Who shall I fear? Speaking with this confidence, he goes on throughout the chapter, explaining essentially that whatever may come his way, the Lord is his fortress. In the middle of this chapter, in the verses 7 and 8, he says this. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." How many times have you felt like you weren't getting that answer you were looking for from God? You're sitting with anxiousness, with bated breath. God, I am crying out to you. I am making my petition known to you. I am waiting for a response. Hear me, O Lord. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek? David is saying, God, don't hide from me. Don't keep your face away from me. My heart is postured and in position to hear from you. If you could just speak to my heart, God, I need to hear you. You know, when you get in that space where you feel like you gotta hear a word from God because life is beating you up, because you're going through different trials and tribulations, circumstances are overtaking you, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn, you're waiting for a word from God. I can testify because I was in a space like that. In March of last year, I received devastating news on a Friday evening. I was so heartbroken. I didn't know what to do, but what I did do was seek God. I said, Lord, you see this circumstance. You know what I'm dealing with. I don't know what to do. I need to hear from you, God. I'm in this space that I've never been before. I don't even know what is going to happen. God, can you tell me something? I need something, anything. Talk to me, God. Hear my cry, oh Lord, attending to my prayer. I was in a space like that. And I remember that weekend, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to keep pushing. I came to church that Sunday morning. I was broken. I was broken. And I made my way to the altar. I didn't need anybody's help, but I was crying out to God. Sometimes you got to get in a space where the presence of God is permeating and you can get that prayer through and he can hear you. But sometimes you got to get in a space that's been created for worship, an environment where he can hear you. I was at the altar crying out to God. Lord, hear my cry. And I went back to my seat. I didn't think nothing of it after that. I just went back, sat through the rest of the service. All of a sudden, a lady that was sitting on the same row as me, had never seen her before. Now, there was a time frame where I had stepped away from New Bethel. So she might have been a member, I'm not for sure, but she was sitting on the same row as me. I never met her in my life. Remember, this is Sunday, March 12th, last year. I'm sitting on that row. All of a sudden, I see a note slide to me. I pick up the note. I'm like, what'd she want? Because in church, you're like, what? What'd you slide me a note for? I opened the note, and I read it. And the note said this: seek ye first the kingdom of God. The best is yet to come. It's not over in Jesus' name, and it is so, and it is so. Now, the trippy part about that note that I got, remember, it was Sunday, March 12th. I got the news on March 10th. I opened the note, I read those words, and I look up at the top, and it said March 10th. I said, hold on. This was the day that I got the most devastating news. And on Sunday, I received a promise from God that I can hold on to. When you get those promises, you feel so strengthened. You feel like you can conquer the world. You can face what it is that you're dealing with. You see, the definition of the word promise, as defined by Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. But here's the definition that I enjoy. It says, the second definition states, it is a legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect. So I get this promise. My level of expectation starts jumping. It goes up. But as, you know, as we go through life, we understand that promises are hard to come by sometimes. Especially when it's a promise made by man. And sometimes we allow that to infiltrate how we think about what God is going to do for us. See, I'm going to give you a story about how I received the promise when I was a child. My expectation was super high. I had an expectation because a guy at the church at the time, he said, I'm going to buy you a skateboard, Andre. I was like, cool. He said, I'm going to buy it for you for Christmas. I said, cool. I'm excited. I was a huge Bart Simpson fan. This was perfect. So I'm coming to church expecting this gift around Christmas time. No skateboard. I said, okay, that's fine. He probably forgot. My birthday's in January. Maybe he's going to give it to me then. January comes. No skateboard. I'm like, okay, maybe he was talking about the next year. So I wait all year long. No skateboard. Standing before you 39 years old, I still don't have that skateboard. And it is so hard to keep an expectation of a promise when you experience those promises being broken. But I'm trying to inform you that the promise keeper of promise keepers, if he gives you a word, you can hold on to that word. You can declare that it is so, and it is so. If God gives you a word, you better hold on for dear life to that word, regardless of what may come your way. You see, the test of our faith is not just in the enormity of the obstacles, but the test of our faith is in the length of the wait. So it's not how big can I believe. It's not about believing big, but can I keep on believing when believing seems like it ain't working? You cannot stop telling yourself the stories of the goodness of God, because we have so many stories that God has delivered us through different things. He has brought circumstances or delivered us out of circumstances when we were going through trouble and hardship and times that felt like we were going to be overtaken. Don't stop telling yourself the story of God's goodness. There was an 11th century theologian by the name of Anselm of Canterbury who says, faith seeks understanding. When you're dealing with this thing called faith, sometimes you hear it preached, you hear it declared over the pulpit. It can be a bit like, okay, I believe, but what else? And we are human, so we have a mind, and we're thinking like, God, how is all of this going to work out? And it's okay to seek God for the understanding of what it is that you're going through, of what it is that you're putting your faith towards. It is okay to question God. God, why am I in this circumstance? Why am I here, God? It's okay to talk to God. He's not going to be offended or afraid about what you say to him. Guess why? Because he's God, and he wants you to come to him. He wants you to talk to him, to seek his face, to seek him out in regard to whatever it is that you're dealing with. The story that I opened up with, found in Joshua, is Caleb. About Caleb speaking about the promise that he was able to obtain because of him being fully devoted to God. fully devoted, with my whole heart. With my whole heart, with all of me, I'm giving myself over to you, God. You see, Caleb's narrative is intertwined with the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they were in a space and place where God had told Moses that you're going to be able to take them to this space and they're going to overtake the promise. They were promised the promised land. They were going into Canaan. God had said, Moses, lead them this way. Moses was like, all right, God, I hear what you're saying. So he sends 12 spies into the land. 12 spies out of all of those Israelites. Now, think about Israel. They had a pillar of cloud in the day. They had fire by night. Caleb is experiencing this. Caleb gets to see where the bitter water is made sweet. Caleb gets to walk through the Red Sea when it parts. He gets to experience all of these situations where he can see the hand of God upon the children of Israel. He gets to see and experience all of these circumstances. He gets to gather manna. He gets to experience that. But, and he's not the only one, because remember, there's 12 spies. These 12 men are told to go check out the land. And only two come back and say they see God. But the other 10 said there's giants in the land. We can't overtake them. We seem like grasshoppers in their eyes. In their eyes. 12 individuals. Only two see God. But they all experienced the same God. They all walked through the Red Sea when it parted. They all got to receive fresh manna. They all experienced that sweet water after it was turned from bitter water. They got to experience these different manifestations of God. The pillar of cloud in the day, the fire by night. They all got to experience this. Think about when we come to church and how we see all these individuals that we may not even know, and we all are worshiping. Some of us come in with an expectation that God is going to meet me where I am. And then others of us are so focused on our circumstance and situation that we can't get beyond what we see with our natural eye. And you're asking yourself, how can 12 individuals see the same and experience the same thing, and only two see God? Two out of 12. If you were playing football, you would be on the bench because you can't pass. Two out of 12. And you think about Caleb and Joshua, but I'm focused on Caleb today. Caleb gives the report that we can take the land. We can do this. If God is on our side, if he's with us, why can't we go over and take this land? But because of the many that were with them, they infiltrated the thought process of all of the others, and they all missed out on experiencing the promise of God. Because the promise of God is what we have to hold on to. The promise of God, when life is hard, when you are connected to individuals that are trying to talk you out of what God has told you, you gotta hold on to that promise. That promise is life. That promise is everything. Because there is nothing else I can do but trust God. I've got to trust him. Even when the situation looks like it does, I got to trust him. And you may be asking yourself, what's special about Caleb and Joshua? What made them think that they could overtake this besides the point that God told them they could overtake it? But even when we hear God, we still question what it is that he's telling us to do. Because of all of the noise, because of all of the distractions in life, God has given you a clear word. Hear me, somebody. God has given you a clear word of what it is that he wants you to do. But you are allowing expectations of others to distract you from where he is trying to push you. You've got to be obedient to what it is he's telling you. Because his word is the final word. And he will allow you to live on whatever level you settle for. So it isn't like you're going to miss out on a whole bunch of stuff, but you're going to miss out on what God had for you. Because you've gotten your feelings. Or because you allow people to distract you. But what is it about Caleb that made him say, I see God? All the circumstances, they all went through the same thing. They all experienced the different manifestations of God. There's this thing that I don't know if many of you have heard, but it's called practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God with my whole heart. You see, even though I get a promise from God, that promise is generally tethered to an opportunity. And that opportunity can be a big obstacle. It could be a distraction, something to take you off course. The promise and the opportunity are generally tied together. And even though he got the word, he got the promise, he held on to the promise, during all that time, being in the camp of the Israelites and sitting under the leadership of someone like Moses, we sit under the leadership of Bishop Eglin Brady, who, in my opinion, he does hear the voice of God. That's something that you cannot question. And I'm thankful for that. And that's something that, let me just stay right there. I don't know where you are in your church home, if you have a church home or if you are looking for one, but wherever you end up, make sure that the person that you're sitting under has the wherewithal to imprint on you the spiritual necessary things that you need to walk this thing out. And that he or she has an ear to hear the voice of God. They were under the leadership of Moses. Moses, they sat under the leadership of Moses. They saw how Moses operated. They saw how he handled the people. But most importantly, they saw how he would get away from the people and get into the face of God and hear from God and listen to God. And declare, oh God, I hear you. This is what I've got to do. So being under that kind of a leadership, that kind of an influence, had to do something to the spirit of Caleb. Caleb practiced the presence of God. Now you may be looking at me and saying, what does he mean by practice the presence of God? Seeking God. Where he may be found, while he may be found. Praying is essential to the practicing of the presence of God. We are in trying times, and we all have stuff that we got to deal with. You may be looking at your circumstance and like, man, it's too high to get over. It's too low to get under. You're stuck. in the middle. That went over some of y'all's head, but the devil wanted to be starting something. Practicing the presence of God in the circumstances, in the difficulties, in the trying times, you've got to see that as an opportunity for God to do the miraculous, for God to do the impossible. And it's about holding on to the promise that he gave you. You've got to hold on to that promise. Hold on to the promise. Look at your neighbor, tell him, hold on to what he told you. Hold on to the promise of God. Because there's nothing else that I can do but trust God. And many times we are looking at what we've done. We look at what we did in the past or what we just did yesterday. And we allow shame to get in the way of us practicing the presence of God. See, it's not as if Caleb lived a perfect life. We do have a perfect example in Jesus Christ, and in his life we see that. But just speaking specifically to Caleb, we're in a he's in a situation where he's influenced by leadership. He sees all these different manifestations of God taking place in his life. And then there's an opportunity. He gets chosen. God, you said that we could take this land. I don't care what the others say. I'm holding on to the promise. But here's the crux of the matter. The opening scripture that I read said, I was 40 years old when the promise came. I am now 85 years old. That means because, remember, the children of Israel had to go through the wilderness for, because of him being tied to them, his wait was long. And some of us look at our situations, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, we look at those situations and think, oh, I can't do this anymore. But what sets Caleb apart and what we should look at as a spiritual principle that we should apply to our lives is him practicing God's presence. You can practice God's presence while you're going through your situation. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, practice God's presence. And you may think to yourself, man, that sounds good, Dre, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know how many times I'd have messed up. Let me help you out real quick. There's a story in the book of Genesis. I'm sure many are familiar with it, but I want to assume that. Genesis 3. We see the fall of man. We see the fall of man. We see the fall of man. The special thing about Genesis 3 is that when Adam and Eve fell, the Bible tells us that they hid themselves because of the shame. What I want you to see is God, the Bible tells us that he walked in the cool of the day and he asked the question, where are you? Now, it's not as if he didn't know where they were. And it's not as if he didn't know what they did. He's asking the question, where are you? Because we used to meet. We used to have time together. And because you messed up, you didn't show up. But we need to change the way we think. Because he messed up, God still showed up. He still showed up. It's a picture of God's grace. He still showed up despite what they did. So when he asked the question, where are you? It's not because he can't handle what you done did or where you've been. It's because I desire an intimate relationship with you. I want us to have communion. That is how you practice God's presence in spite of what you've gone through. You gotta show up. You gotta show up. Continue to show up. Even when you're going through circumstances, continue to show up. Even when you know you're messing up, continue to pray. Continue to seek his face. And the things that are taking place internally, they will then begin to come out externally. There's a spiritual formation that's taking place even while you're going through your circumstance. You're being molded and shaped into a way and being conformed into the imago Dei, the image of God. Don't stop showing up. Numbers 14, 24 says, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Because he followed God wholeheartedly, we cannot half step. And I'm not talking to individuals that don't know who God is or have no experience or haven't made that declaration that they are his and he is theirs. I'm talking about those that have been in the ministry, that have been in the church, that have been in relationship with God. We get in circumstances, we get in spaces and places where we kind of forget, we become almost common with God. And we get in a space where we're not coming to him as frequently as we should. Practice God's presence. I don't care what anybody says or what they do. You've got to maintain, you've got to create that space and place where it's just you and him. Where it's just you and him. Don't lose that. With your whole heart. Psalms 119 and 10 says this, and I'll finish with this. I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. With my whole heart. Y'all can go ahead and play that soft Pentecostal music as we bring this rap. Hallelujah. You know they use the chords to try to get you to, not just like, with my whole heart. I believe God gave me that word specifically today for someone. Because we get in those spaces where we don't know what's about to take place. We don't know if the promise is going to come. We don't know if we can continue to hold on. The Bible tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So holding on to the promise. Look at Caleb's life as a blueprint. He held on for 40 years, 40 plus years. Think about where you are right now and what you're dealing with. And then think about Caleb waiting. He has some experience in waiting. And we do too. You think about him waiting at the shores of the Red Sea all night long, waiting for that body of water to split so they could cross over all night long. And think about what you've been waiting for all night long in the darkness and in those hard places. As the altar workers come, I just want to encourage you. Don't stop believing. Serve God with your whole heart. With your whole heart. I'm going to say a general prayer for everyone, and then the altar will be open for those that desire to touch and agree with someone. Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the experience that we've had with you today. Your presence has definitely been in the room, and we do not take it lightly. God, allow the word that was preached today to settle in someone's spirit. God, give them the unction to move as you have commanded them to move, to be obedient to your word, and for us to live our lives serving you with our whole heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If any are ready to come to the altar is open.